All right. Well, what a year last year was, eh? And what a year this year is turning out to be as well. Who knows exactly what's going to happen from week to week, whether we have to wear masks or not wear masks, whether we can have everybody over or only a select few over, whether we have to, you know, be incognito in shopping centres or whatever. It just changes from week to week, doesn't it? And I don't know about you, but last year, it sort of upended everything about our lives. All of the things that we thought we knew about our lives were sort of thrown upside down and inside out, and we weren't quite sure whether we were coming or going. You know, the things, these are my plans for the year. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to do that, and all of a sudden, I'm staring at the four walls of my house for months on end. Or, yeah, I'm going to really enjoy catching up with these people, and all of a sudden, I don't even know, I've hardly spoken to those people. And for some people, that was a blessed relief. And for other people, that was a really deep pain. You know, like, or I'm not talking about other people, I'm talking about people that you didn't have to meet, you were relieved for, and some of the people that you wanted to meet with, you were sad about. And then it was, well, you know, appetites changed. We ate more sourdough bread last year than we've ever eaten in our entire lives. And I remember during the lockdown, you know, it was the daily trip to the supermarket, and we'd almost like raffle off who gets to go. Well, maybe we could have like had an auction and people could have put in bids. Yeah, I get it to go out of the house and I get to go to the supermarket to pick up some food. But all of these things sort of, when disruptions like that happen, it can make us aware of the parts of our lives that we just take for granted. You know, we don't necessarily think, oh, well, I just got, you know, we don't think about necessarily our ambitions, for example, from moment to moment or day to day. But when our ambitions are thwarted, even if it's as simple as, I just want to be able to go and visit my friends in Geelong, then we become aware of that, right? When we can't go and get the food that we normally get or engage in the activities that we normally engage in, we realise that we have appetites for these things and all of a sudden they are being thwarted. And maybe we are people, you know, and we just love being around people and the affirmation that we get from being around people. And all of a sudden, when we can't be around people, we are faced by the fact, well, who am I, and am I still acceptable to people? Is there any sense of approval going on in my life? You see, the upside down nature of last year brings an awareness of these elements of our lives, which are always there, but I guess like unconsciously there. And so I didn't, again, want to lose the benefit of that. And as we start this year, a few weeks ago, we looked at the fact that last year was the year of the nerd, and science and space and all those sorts of things. And we looked at that the way that scientists and engineers have to approach stuff is through humble curiosity. And you try and figure out how this universe works and where it comes from and how it all came to be. But then I had, and Chris has got the flowers still, you know, I had that visual aid of the flowers. And if you look at the flowers, you can understand them scientifically about how they were all put together and all that sort of stuff. But then if you look carefully on the back of the flowers, there was a card to my wife. And I just got in early. I sent it in case I forgot for Valentine's Day, which is actually next Sunday. So if I forget, it's going to be a public forgetting, isn't it? And also for our anniversary, which is later in May. But you see, when you engage in humble curiosity with the world, you then discover, yes, within this world there is a thing called the Bible, right? And we looked at how the theme of temple helps us understand that the Bible is all about God being with us and us living with God. But then we also need to extend our humble curiosity to ourselves. So we can humble curiosity, we engage the world around us. Humble curiosity, we engage with the Bible before us. In humble curiosity, we engage with ourselves. And we see that we have many parts to us, but all of us have needs for appetites, food, sleep, shelter, etc. We all have ambitions, even if your ambition is not to have ambitions. I just want to lead a quiet life. That's still something that you're aiming for. All of us have ambitions of one sort or another. And maybe most deeply, all of us want to know that we have some measure of approval, don't we? That we're accepted by people, that we're honoured by people, that we're loved by people, that they embrace us. Now, it might be that we don't actually care what the general public thinks, but maybe we really care what one person thinks. And sometimes for some people, it's a parent who might have even passed away. But our lives and our need for approval is attached to that person. You see, that's the truth, isn't it? We all have appetites, ambitions and needs for approval. That's just a common human condition. And when we go through times of rearranging and disruption, we can become more aware of how the things that we've just been living unconsciously in these areas get disrupted. We become aware of them because, oh, I notice now that I'm not getting the approval that I once enjoyed. I notice now that I'm not getting the exercise or the sleep that I really needed to get. You know. Or I'm not able to do the things that and achieve the things that gave me a sense of achievement and importance. And these are such important parts of our lives that we will seek to fulfill them in sometimes harmful ways. Sometimes we will seek to fulfill our appetites for food, for example, by eating lots of unhealthy food because of the way it makes us feel, the sugar high or whatever else it is. Sometimes we will become ambitious to the point where it absorbs so much of our energy and our time that our relationships with other people suffer. And sometimes our need for approval will drive us to do things and put them on social media in ways that are probably unhelpful, and that when we grow up and we get a bit older, we will probably regret and wish we could have take back or delete or whatever, and hope and wish we didn't put that silly video on TikTok. But we put it up there because we get a buzz or we get a sense of affirmation from all the likes and all the shares and all the comments that go on that, you see. You see, these parts of our lives just don't go away. Our appetites and ambitions and need for approval are there constantly, and if they can't be fulfilled in one way, we'll start to try and fill them in another way. And sometimes we just do it in ways that are harmful, and even maybe more profoundly, sometimes we try and fulfill them in ways that are sinful. I will help my company get ahead by cutting ethical corners or breaking some sort of consumer affairs law or breaking some sort of contract. Or I will try and manipulate people into giving me approval and tricking them into thinking I'm someone that I'm not. Or I'll try and fulfill my need for food or sex in ways that actually damage other people and therefore become sinful. But you see, the reason we do it is because we have these underlying needs, these underlying drives, our appetites, approval and ambition. All of us have them. But sometimes our appetites can become controlling. And sometimes our ambitions can become selfish. And sometimes the way we seek approval can become toxic. One of the reasons that the Bible is still read today is because it speaks so powerfully into this human condition. And why even Genesis does that too. Because it speaks into this very thing. Genesis chapter 1 from about verse 26, it says, from verse 27, it says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." And then it says this, "God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number.'" You see, the humans that God created, God gave approval to. "I bless you. I embrace you. I accept you." People don't do it so much nowadays, but when the couple wanted to get married, one of the guy would often go to the parents of the girl and say, "I'd like to marry your daughter. Do you give me your approval?" And they'll say, "Yeah, we give you our blessing." That's an indication of approval and acceptance, you see. And so here we see at the very beginning, when God created humans, he gave them God's approval. But then he goes on to say, "Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." You see, God also gave humans purpose. God said, "Well, you've got ambitions. I want your ambitions to be connected to my purpose that I'm giving you." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food." At the very beginning also God said, "I'm going to provide for your appetites." Can you see that? We've got God providing these things, supposed to be connecting to these three needs that humans have. It's like a plug going into a socket, right? A three-pin plug going into a three-pin socket. That our need for approval was supposed to be connected to God's blessing, and our need for our ambition was supposed to be connected to God's kingdom, and our appetites were supposed to be connected to God's abundance. But then we go over to chapter 3 of Genesis, and the serpent engages with Adam and Eve, and then the serpent has a conversation. God didn't say that if you eat this you will die, this fruit of the tree of life, of knowledge of good and evil. But when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, that's appetite, and pleasing to the eye, approval, and desirable for the gaining of wisdom, ambition, they took the fruit. And the first humans, just like today's humans, say, "Well, I want these things, but I don't want to get them from God. I want to get them for myself." And so we try and fulfill our appetites, ambitions, and need for approval disconnected from God. And the Bible says that was a terrible thing. And because people tried to live independent of God, they then lost the privilege of the close relationship with God that God always intended. Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden. And although we live in God's world, and God's world we understand is to be a cathedral, sometimes we feel like we are cast out of God's presence, and God seems distant to us as well. And the lived experience of Adam and Eve is also our experience. That we have needs for appetite, approval, and ambition, but we so often we try and fulfill them independent of God in our own ways that often are harmful and are sometimes sinful. But God who is love, God who loves the creatures that he has created, says, "That pains me, that grieves me. I desire for them to be reconnected to me. I want them to be connected to me again." And so God sets in train this whole, centuries-long plan of calling Abraham and then raising up a nation of Israel and finally sending his son. And it can be best summarized in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not die disconnected from God, trying to madly fulfill all of the things that they were created to fulfill but aren't doing because they're disconnected from God, would not die, would have an eternal quality of life and an eternal quantity of life as well." You see, God recognises our disconnected state, and God does something about it. We don't have to go to God and try and fix it. No, God's come to us to fix it. And at the beginning of John's Gospel, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And it also says, whoever received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. You see, God in his grace acts and reaches out to us and embraces us and says, yes, I want you to be my child. And as we say, yes, I want to be your child again, we start to get connected back to God. But then often there is a process of strengthening that connection. And sometimes God does it automatically, but most of the time he will do it in a way that requires our engagement and our cooperation. That our ambitions be connected back to God. And our appetites can be connected back to God. And our need for approval be connected back to God. And so I've drawn a little diagram that might sort of summarise this, and hopefully the technology will be working. We can put that up on the screen. Thanks, Ed. Has that worked? Not yet. I think it's the second one in the sermon series there. Has it worked? It is on the live stream, but it's not up here. All right, well, we will ditch that thing. It's very unfortunate. Sorry, folks. We'll have to do it again next week. So I was hoping to have some visuals to help you remember stuff, but luckily we've got some alliteration to help us as well. So how can we cooperate with God to help more strongly connect our appetites, our approval, and our ambition to God? Well, the first thing that we need to do is that we need to start, I think, with approval. That's the deepest part of us. That speaks most profoundly to our identity, who we are and whether we're loved and whether we're accepted or not. And the first thing that we need to do is that we need to abide in the blessing. Our appetite, our need for approval needs to be connected to God's blessing, and the way we do that is by abiding in it. Just like the song we sang earlier. We need to say, God, I want to abide with you. I want to know that I'm embraced by you, that I'm your child, that you invite me into your amazing Trinitarian fellowship. In John 17, Jesus prayed that we would be one with the Father and the Son. That, God, I want to abide with you. I want to know that your Spirit's within me saying, yes, I'm your child. And so we need to embrace God's blessing by abiding in it. And then we need to align our ambitions with God's kingdom. Now, when we talk about God's kingdom, it's not just like the religious bit, saying, yes, I've got to align my life, you know, and get on church rosters and do church activities. No, the God's kingdom was about humans managing this world, this universe, if you like. So it's everything from gardening to church and everything in between. Engineering, science, the whole bit. Now, there are obviously ways that you can work at, you know, managing the environment or creating things that are consistent with God's intention for this world and for humanity, or inconsistent. And so in your daily work, which is the place where you get the most opportunity to produce good, you need to align your ambitions with the kingdom of God there. In the places where you live and in the families that you are parts of, you need to align your ambitions with the kingdom of God there. And when we've got our approval, we're abiding in God's blessing, and where our ambitions are aligned with God's kingdom, we can then, with our appetites, access God's abundance. And I think Jesus knew this most profoundly, because these three things are addressed in the first three lines of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven. Will you pray that? It reminds you that God's our Father. That we are invited into the Trinitarian fellowship. But more than that, that we are part of God's family. There is a place of an acceptance and approval. But very usefully, the line goes on to say, hallowed be your name. It's not all about you and me and us being the center of attention, because when we're in with God and in God's presence and in God's family, God's the center of attention, and that's great. And so to help your abiding in God's blessing, you might just like to pray regularly, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And to align your ambitions with the kingdom, you might like to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, in my life, as in heaven. And then you might like to seek to access God's abundance for your appetites by praying, give us today our daily bread. And if we cooperate with God, we will be more strongly connected back to God. And if we persist in this and develop habits in this, then over time the strength of our connection between our need for approval and God's blessing will get stronger. And all of the other ways that we have previously sought to have those things fulfilled will seem less attractive. We won't need to go there because we'll be getting it from God. And as we deliberately and establish a habit of aligning our ambitions with God's kingdom, we won't be diverted into other unhelpful things. And as we learn to rely and trust on God providing us for our daily bread in lots of different ways, then the attraction of and temptation of sin will seem less important and less powerful. And so we can simply strengthen that connection. It's like, you know, most of us have Wi-Fi in our houses, you know, where we connect some device to the internet. It's a bit like going from your normal Wi-Fi connection then to the Wi-Fi connection that says whatever your Wi-Fi network is with the 5G on the end of it, you know, that's a faster connection, right? And then when you get really serious, what you do is you actually get out a cable called an Ethernet cable and you plug that into your device and you have even better bandwidth, a stronger connection to the internet. And if you're going to do gaming or whatever else, people will do that, right? And as we pray these three lines of the Lord's Prayer, we're going from normal Wi-Fi to 5G Wi-Fi, to Ethernet speed. And so we're going to sing that song that we learnt, Abide. Draw me close and teach me to abide. That's the starting place. I'm going to invite the musicians to come up. But before we sing this song, I just want you to pause and think for a moment. If you can put up that reflection slide, thanks, Eddie. Let's pause and reflect on our time with God this morning. What will we remember and how will we respond? What are you going to do differently this week from what God's impressed on your heart this morning? Maybe it's from a prayer that Ian prayed. Maybe it's from a song. Maybe it's from the scriptures. Maybe it's from something I've talked about. I'm just going to invite you to close your eyes and quietly say, God, what do you want me to remember from our time together this morning? And then think about how might I simply respond.